sit back, relax, enjoy yourself, turn the lights out, and pull the covers and shades over that late afternoon sun, for it is time to turn the lights out.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Ionized Yeast presents Lights Out. Everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you, calmly but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
My name, Arch Obler. Tonight, a story I enjoyed writing for you because, well, frightening as the thought may be, it could happen.
And furthermore, I might speak frankly, my dear Diane. The basic thing wrong with woman is her nose. Let's cut it off.
Russell Adams.
Then there's the matter of her ears. Look at them.
Well?
They're too obvious. Cut them off, too.
No nose, no ears. A fine art critic you turned out to be.
Oh, is this thing odd?
Russ Adams, I hate you. I think it's the best piece of sculpture I've ever done.
Egomaniac.
Oh, will you go away?
Not until I tell my wife how much I adore her. About stopping the artistic endeavors for the night and romancing with the old man.
Any night.
Come on. Out on the veranda. There's a moon.
Spoken as Professor Russell J. Adams, instructor of astronomy at our beloved university.
I don't know a single scientific fact about this moon. It's a special satellite built entirely for romance.
Then it's a date.
After you, fair Diane? Why do you laugh?
Just thinking it's a good thing we haven't any neighbors, or they'd think we were honeymooning.
10 years and 2 more weeks.
Sweet.
Why?
For remembering.
Where the sign?
Oh, it's such a lovely night.
Yes. You're very lovely with the moonlight in your hair.
Darling.
335 days out of the year, moonlight to me is just a reflected light of the sun. A light interesting only that it may be analyzed spectroscopically. But these 30 days of our vacation, Diane. Oh, what a magical change. It's a soft lover's moon hanging in the heavens only to brighten your loveliness.
Oh, and people wonder why I can't get excited about Ronald Coleman.
Coleman? Who's he?
Spoken like a true professor. He's a motion picture star. An absolute paragon of romance.
Oh, well, perhaps I shouldn't neglect my movie going. Oh, so much I mean, with such paragons to teach one.
You do all right. Oh, Russell.
What's the matter?
I saw the brightest shooting star.
Is that all? The way you gasp, I thought you saw the angel of death himself galloping over those meadows.
There's another one. Look, Russell.
My dear, for 11 months out of the year, the heavens have my full and undivided attention. Oh, but during this blessed month, let the heavens fall, I can't be bothered.
I never saw such bright shooting stars.
Yes, and another thing, my dear. As the wife of an accredited professor of astronomy, I think it no more than fitting that you give the phenomena that you observed its proper name, namely the fall of a meteor.
There's another one. And another. Oh, Russ, how bright and beautiful.
They travel at such a tremendous rate, the friction of our atmosphere burns them into a fiery vapor.
There's more of them. Look. One after the other. I've never seen so many shooting stars.
Uh-uh.
I mean so many meteors in all my life. Oh, so that's why you wanted me out here. You knew about this meteor shower, didn't you?
It's one of heaven's free spectacles in this constellation. Every 3 years, and this happens to be the third year.
How frightening.
Quite frightening.
Those great masses of stone and iron coming from who knows where in interstellar space, traveling millions and millions of miles, and then going up in such glorious flame just as they reach the end of their journey.
Not all goes to flame. Hundreds of them strike the earth each year.
Well, Russell, there's no danger.
Oh, no. The probabilities of being struck on the head by that cosmic rubbish is about 1,000 times more remote than winning a sweepstake without buying a ticket.
Oh, look. That one. The brightest of all.
Wait, Diane. What's that?
I don't know. Something from
look
the
up.
Sky. It's shooting star.
Look out, Diane.
Ralph.
All right, dear. Everything's all right.
What? How?
A meteor. Must have landed out in the field there. Here, let me help you. You all right, just?
Yes, I'm all right. Russ, where are you going?
Out there. Where it must have buried itself. Wait here. I'll be right back.
No, I'm going with you.
All right, if you want to. Oh, Diane, what an experience we've had. The one chance in a million I spoke about almost occurred to us.
But, Russ, was it really a shooting star? That explosion like a bombshell?
A bombshell of the universe.
What will we find out there?
A fragment of the meteorite,
I hope. But it'll burn.
No. All of its heat will have been dissipated. Then again, it may have exploded into 1,000 minute pieces. I pray to heaven that it hasn't.
I'm afraid.
No. The danger's all over. Here. The moon's so bright. If any of the mass landed, I should be able to find the torn ground where it smashed through the turf.
Oh, please, darling, let's wait until morning.
No, I must find the thing at once. The moon gives plenty of light. From the brightness of the flash, I'm positive that the meteor landed someplace right in here. I'll tell you. Look.
What?
The turf, all torn up. This is the place.
Russell, are you mad? Get up off the ground.
Right here. It must have struck a glancing blow off the brow of the ridge. I've got it.
What?
A fragment of it. Still warm. See? No larger than a baseball. All that was left of it.
That's a meteor?
A meteor, right. All that's left of the meteor that burned and exploded. What a find.
Drop it, Russ.
What are you talking
about?
Throw
it away.
Come back to the house.
What are you going to do with it?
Diane, what's the matter with you? Your face.
I don't know. Somehow I'm afraid for all of us.
Afraid? Good heavens, my dear. There's nothing dangerous about this. A mass metal that's 90% iron. Why, it's as harmless as any inert piece of metal. Come to the study. I'll show you where the rush of air against the incandescent...
Russ, wait.
Huh?
Someone's crying.
Yes.
I'll go and see. It's Helga. Oh, Helga. You poor thing. We forgot all about you.
Oh, Mrs. Adams, it was exploding.
Now. Everything's all right, Helga.
What's going on, Diane?
Oh, poor Helga. The explosion frightened her out of her wit.
Oh, Mr. Professor Adams, we die. We all die.
Don't be a
the
fool.
The fire, it come from the sky. It kill us. It kill you and me and everybody. We die. Everybody
die. Stop it. For heaven's sake,
fire
stop that. Take care of her, Diane. Give her a or something.
All right, Russell. All right now, Helga. Everything's all right.
I'm going to get at this meteorite, so please quiet the dumb fool down as quickly as you can. Superstitious idiot. Simple phenomenon, and she thinks the world's ending. Several little meteorite. Iron, bit of nickel content. Nothing particularly unusual. Oh, Diane, quiet her down, will you?
Yes. She'll be all right.
You look a little rocky yourself. Here, sit here.
She's very frightened.
Yeah, and even you, Diane.
Well,
you've acted so strangely, as if this inert piece of cosmic metal could cause some supernatural ability.
What are you going to do with it?
Nothing. Examine it. Here, I'll take some of this nitric acid. Where's that bottle? Yeah. Now watch closely, and I'll show you that the stone consists of ordinary elements. Iron.
Russell.
What?
This mark on it. How strange.
Funny I hadn't noticed it before.
Circles the entire stone.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised that a blow right here would break it in half. Yes, I think I'll try to do that.
No, Russ. Leave it alone.
Good heavens, Diane. Nothing but a stone. All I'm going to do is try and break it along this fissure. You had a hammer and a stone. Here. One of the stone break, almost solid metal. I'll try. By George, it did. Clean in half. What?
Look. What's inside?
Flesh.
Oh, rough. How?
Negative ray protoplasmic. No, it can't be. It can't. This is a meteor. It came from out there. There is no flesh. Nothing could live.
Russ, look.
Huh?
It's growing.
Growing? Ladies and gentlemen, a shooting star flashes out of the sky and falls to Earth. And in it, something living from out of interstellar space. Yes. If this is the time to take a breath before going on with tonight's lights-out play, the story of Professor Adams and his wife and the thing from out beyond our world, a meteorite had fallen, and Professor Adams had broken it open, and there was a gray nugget of flesh inside, which, even as the professor and his wife stood watching, began to grow.
Gray flesh. Growing. Russ, I'm afraid.
No, Di. No. Wait. Control yourself. This is something we've got to see, both of us, calmly, so we can tell others clearly what we saw.
I'll try. Russ, keep your arm around me.
Larger and larger. Listen, the noise as it grows.
I hear it. When will it stop? When?
Look. Look.
I can't. That horrible gray flesh.
But you must see it. Look. It's forming into something.
What?
A head. It's forming into a head.
Oh!
How can it be, Diane? Flesh in a meteor growing. Growing into a head.
I see it. A head. Horrible head.
Diane, you heard.
Yes.
A head without body speaking.
Yes, speaking.
Right.
You hear and understand me?
Laughing.
I laugh at the fear and wonder in your simple little faces.
Who are you? What are you?
If I told you, would your little earth minds understand?
Tell us, whatever you are. Tell us what you are.
What you on earth will soon have for masters.
No, wait, Diane. I must know. You thing, what can I call you? Tell me what you mean, you masters.
Surely you simple little men do not think that in you creation has reached the ultimate.
Oh, gray flesh talking. I'm getting out.
You will stay.
Russ, I can't move.
Nor I.
You cannot move.
Who are you? Tell us, who are you?
You saw how I came.
A tiny bit of protoplasm in that meteorite?
So I willed myself to be, to reach your earth.
You came here in that? Through space?
Through space beyond your furthest conception, earth thing. Many of my people have tried. I am the first to succeed.
Then meteors are...
Are the means we have used to try and reach this haven of plenty. I am the first. Now there will be others.
No.
You're from another planet?
An old world. Old beyond your understanding. A world grown cold in its age, empty with passing years. We must escape to a young, fertile world. This world.
But your own only heads. Heads without bodies.
Oh, Russ, I'm so afraid.
No, please. I must hear him speak. This that is happening to us is a miracle of all times. Tell me, you there, are you only heads in that world you speak of?
Heads. You see what I will you to see.
But what are you?
A mind and a will beyond your feeble understanding, as far above you as you are above the apes that still must crawl in your jungle.
But how can it be that you speak as I speak and understand what I say?
Your prattling wearies me, but I tell you this. All that you say, I know. The most profound thought any of you earth things have ever thought is to me as the babbling of children. But now I am hungry. You understand that, little thing.
Hungry?
Hungry?
Hungry with a hunger that has driven me over space without ending. Hunger that has brought me here.
But what do you eat?
You will know.
What do you mean?
What food could there be here to fill the hunger of such as I? Hunger that would make me entomb myself in metal, flung into space in a hope that chance would bring me through the fire of that air of yours. What food? Earthing.
I don't know. Tell me.
Come closer. Thing.
Oh, no.
And why, oh, no, thing?
You don't... Human?
Human. You think you crawling worms are human to us?
But if you're man...
But we are not man. You are the cattle, and we are the keepers.
Oh.
You raise the cattle for life, and we for centuries have raised such as you on our world for life. But now, as I told you, our world has grown too old and too cold. The herds of you die, and we grow hungry. That is why I am here. We need new cattle. Here there are so many of you. Earth woman.
Russell, it spoke to me.
We've got to get out of here.
Woman.
No. Stop it. Don't look at me. Stop it.
Come closer.
No. Don't listen to him, Diane.
Closer.
No. Don't move, Diane. Stay where you are. Stay right there.
You hear only me, woman.
Only you.
No, Diane. No. Don't say that. Don't look at that monster, Diane.
Closer, Diane.
Yes.
No.
Closer.
No, Diane. Stand still. Don't move toward it. Don't.
Closer,
No.
Diane.
Closer.
Monster. Not Diane. Diane, I beg of you. Don't go closer to it.
Closer.
No.
Closer.
No. I'll kill you.
Closer.
If I could only get to you.
Close.
Soon you will move to me as she
no.
is closer.
Diane,
closer.
If I could move.
Closer.
Diane,
closer.
I've got to find the way.
Closer.
The strength to stop
closer.
Him.
Closer.
Diane, you're almost...
Closer.
That bottle. Nitric acid.
Closer.
The bottle.
Closer.
Got
it. Yes. Yes, close to you, monster. Take this. Fool of flesh. Flesh. That's all. Diane, wake up. Open your eyes. I've killed the thing. I killed it.
Oh, no.
Diane, it's all right.
Russell,
I've killed it.
Oh.
Diane, look. Outside, it's still dark. Yes, the sky's still streaked with the Russian meteorites. And that thing said more of the monsters of his breed are trying to reach this earth to feel that devil's hunger in them. Another meteorite is just... Well, and in it, perhaps... Oh, Diane. Diane. Is that truly to be end for mankind?
Mr. Obler, will the end of the world come that way?
Well, Rankin... If you mean will the end for mankind come out of interstellar space in the form of a flying meteor, well, there are some mighty interesting theories along that line. The amazing thing about it, Frank, is that there are so many logical and thoroughly possible ways in which the entire tribe of mankind could be wiped off the earth at any moment. I'm not talking about famine or what's close to all of us, war. I mean other ways. A star moves into our darkness from somewhere out there in the blackness of interstellar space, and the pull of its presence might turn our spinning globe headlong into the sun. In a split second, all of mankind, all his buildings, wonderful possessions, his precious little pile, would go up in a flash of fire. Or out of the sun itself, the very source of our life, as we all know, could shoot a long stream of explosive flame that would curl around us and again, well, so quickly that no man would know what had happened. In split seconds, this Earth would be a charred, uninhabited spheroid. Yes, when one stops to think what a tiny little grain of sand this haughty world of ours actually is in the dark sea of space, and when one realizes how precarious little mankind's hold is on this Earth, the spectacle of man's inhumanity to man becomes a cosmic joke.
Well, all of those things are certainly interesting to think about, Mr. Ober, but tell us now, what's going to happen next week?
Next week, Ball's Triste. No, that's not a dance. It's a story of chance. That unpredictable chance that makes one man a saint and the next man a Hitler. The flip of a coin, the turn of a card, the bend of a road. I think you'll like what we have to offer you, but as usual, next week.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at this same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Obler's weird story of Valse Triste. This is the Columbia Broadcasting.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
Hi, my name's Matthew. When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, any time I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. people would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
And now stay tuned for X-1 on NBC. Countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, The Defenders, based on a story by Philip Dick.
And now we bring you a special film of the destruction of San Francisco by radioactive pellets, released this week by Roberts of the Asian Confederation. This bombing was televised by robot cameramen of the Western Confederation as it took place. What you are about to see is a rebroadcast. See the heroic robots, the Leadys, who defended San Francisco against the dastardly attack. Of course, since all human life has been under the surface of Earth for 16 years, there was no actual loss of life in the sense we know it. Still, the vicious destruction of Western Leadys by this sneak attack by Asian robots.
The surface war. The surface war, that's all we hear. It's all everybody works for. 90 cents out of every dollar goes for the surface war. Every man, woman, and child is either inventing new weapons or manufacturing robots to fight for us or taking care of the people who are doing the inventing or manufacturing.
Mary, Mary, take it easy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad.
Maybe you've been working too hard at the university.
Maybe.
How's the study coming?
All right.
Colonel Moss was asking about it only today over at Supreme Headquarters.
I'm still working.
Mary, you haven't mentioned the enemy much.
Oh, what's there to say?
Well, is he as hateful as ever?
He hasn't been feeling well.
Pity. I hope he doesn't die. After all, he's the only living captive member of the Asian Confederation. How old is he, by the way?
34.
Oh, you're joking, of course.
No.
Mary, Western society only moved under the surface of the Earth some 16 years ago. Now, that would mean that the enemy was captured when he was only a boy.
Yes.
He told you this?
Oh, no. He tells everyone he's 42. I deduced it from inconsistencies in his statements.
Well, that's a little dangerous, isn't it?
Well, you're the only one I've told, Dad.
I wish you wouldn't even tell me these things.
Do you expect your friend Colonel Moss to pop out from under the bed?
Now you're being facetious. It's no laughing matter, Mary. The whole concept of the enemy is so charged emotionally...
And so full of lies.
Mary!
It's true. I've been talking to him for 6 months now. He's just an ordinary young man who happens to have had the bad luck to come to symbolize every hated thing we fight against.
I've heard him speak. He is hateful.
He knows what to say if he wants to keep alive.
Mary, I won't hear any more of this.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I suppose it doesn't serve any useful purpose.
It isn't that. I'm thinking of your own safety. If remarks like this were overheard, do you know what they do to traitors?
I've heard they turn them over to the Leadys.
They're taken up to the surface. As they approach it, the radioactivity begins to destroy them. And by the time they reach the top...
I'll be careful.
Good. Now then, Why don't we stop this morbid talk? How about turning on some music, hmm?
All right. Dad?
Yes?
What was it like?
What?
On the surface.
Don't you remember?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, of course not. You were only about six at the time. Well, it's best not to talk about it too much. Oh,
tell me, Dad, please.
Well, it was quite different from living underground. We lived in a valley, your mother and you and I. There were pretty farms along the floor of the valley, little white houses and green fields and trees.
Oh, and there were birds.
Yes. I'm afraid the birds are extinct now.
It must have been hard for you those first years underground.
Well, it wasn't pleasant. But I had my work at the War Institute. There was so much to be done then, building the levees to take over the surface war, designing the pneumatic tubes to get supplies and weapons up to the robots, organizing the robot councils on the surface, and, of course, the constant fight against radiation leakage. We're still working on that one.
I wonder what my life would have been like if it hadn't happened. About all I know is metal walls and great roaring factories and barracks.
Nobody wants to live this way, my dear. We have to. Someday, when the enemy's defeated...
What makes you think he'll be defeated? The Asians are just as secure underground as we are.
When our leadys conquer theirs...
Dad.
What is it?
Dad, the enemy, the one I've been interviewing.
I thought we weren't discussing him.
He mentioned a word to me.
A word?
Yes. It seems to me that I heard it before when I was a little girl.
It's best to forget these things.
No. I don't know what it means, but it might even be a bad word, but I have to ask you.
I'd rather not.
Please?
Well?
The word was peace. Oh, Dan, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shock you. I think I'll go up to my room. I have to get up early. I'm taping an interview with the enemy. Excuse me.
Get me the director of internal security.
Yes?
Moss, this is Donald Taylor.
Yes, Donald.
It's about my daughter.
Mary?
Yes. She's been working with the enemy, as you know, compiling a new study.
Yes?
I'm afraid from some of the things he's told her that he may not be completely... well, completely sane.
Oh?
I thought perhaps you might, well, supervise their relationship a little more. After all, she's been spending almost 6 months in his company, several hours a day.
I see what you mean.
Now, I don't mean to suggest that anything has happened already. Her attitude's...
Don't concern yourself about it. Everything will be handled discreetly.
The enemy is waiting inside, Miss Taylor.
Good. Is the recording and filming equipment ready to go?
All checked and ready.
You've checked the restraint suit on the prisoner?
Yes, miss.
You may leave us alone.
Just buzz when you want me, Miss Taylor.
I will. Thank you, guard. Hello, hateful one.
Hello, beloved.
How are you?
Feeling no pain?
I thought about you last night. I talked to Father.
Be careful.
Oh, it's all right.
Oh, this can't go on, Mary. Sooner or later, someone will suspect.
I don't care. I love you.
Mary. Well, you'd better get something on tape if anyone comes in.
All right. Tape number 425X. Subject, recorded interview with captive ZN2. Former soldier of the Asian Confederation and enemy of the Western Confederation.
I am Joseph Kali, serial number ZN2, former soldier of the Asian Confederation.
What were you taught to believe concerning the people of the Western Confederation?
I hate them with all my heart. They are inhuman and to be destroyed.
What is your objective?
It is the objective of my people to enslave all members of the Western Confederation and to utilize them for the benefit of the masters of the Asian Confederation.
Did you ever witness any murder of members of the Western Confederation?
I was a pilot in a group which dropped radioactive dust on women and children who were preparing to be evacuated underground. I myself killed some 15,000.
We will discontinue the interview to check the quality of the recordings. And to kiss the lips of the captive from the Asian Confederation. Oh, Joseph, I can't tell you how it pains me to hear you mouthing this stuff. It
keeps me alive.
If there were only some way to escape, some place to go.
The surface is the only place to go. And the radioactivity kills you in 40 minutes with the thickest lead suit.
Sometimes I think even 40 minutes of freedom would be worth it.
40 minutes of pain?
If that's the price, then
for myself, I wouldn't care. But for you, Mary...
If there were a way to reach the surface...
There is.
Colonel Moss.
This has been, I must say, a most interesting interview to hear.
You heard it?
From the beginning. We had the room wired this morning.
Then you know.
Yes.
What's going to happen to us?
To you, nothing. Because of my friendship for your father and your own youth. We will simply require that you remain silent about anything that has happened.
And Joseph?
The enemy will be handed over to a D-class leady at the mouth of the tube and taken to the surface. We will perform the entire operation with a ceremony and a public announcement.
He'll die.
Precisely.
No, please.
Now you'd better go. Your father is waiting outside.
Joseph!
Mary, do as he says.
Joseph, I love you.
Take her out.
Please let me say. Let me say goodbye to him.
Remove her.
Joseph, please. Please let me stay. Please. Father?
Yes?
Did you talk to Colonel Moss?
Yes.
And?
He'll permit you to come along and watch the ceremony. Provided? There's no display of any sort. And, of course, a public denouncement of the whole matter. He's prepared a statement to the effect that the enemy tried to dupe you, that he used hypnosis, etc., etc. Well?
I'll sign it.
The ceremony is at the foot of the tube tomorrow morning at 6. At that hour, the enemy will be handed over to a D-class leady, which is being brought down from the surface. Remember your promise.
Detail! Oh! The prisoner's ready to be turned over, sir.
Is the robot here?
The robot is arriving now.
I'll give the orders. I wish to converse with it.
Yes, sir. The robot has landed at the foot of the tube, sir.
Switch on the intercom. Robot.
Robot N71.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We have a prisoner to turn over. He is to be taken to the surface and destroyed.
Yes, sir.
Before we send him into the radiation lock, there are a few questions the military would like to have answered.
Yes, sir.
How is the war going on the surface?
The war continues. We are a little short of fast pursuit craft, the single seat type.
It will be noted.
Our missiles pounded the Euro munitions plant of the Asian robot team last night with good results.
Excellent. Are you ready to receive the prisoner?
I am ready.
I must warn all observers to remain behind the lead wall when the radiation lock opens. A few seconds exposure to a hot leady is enough to cause serious damage. Prisoner, step forward.
Father.
Steady, Mary. Remember your promise.
Yes. Is he?
He's there.
Oh, if I could only see him alone a minute.
It's out of the question. Keep well behind the lead wall.
Ready?
Ready, Colonel.
Open the lock. Step into the lock, prisoner.
He's in with the leady. You can almost feel the radiation. By now, he's as good as dead.
Lower the door.
No, wait! Joseph! Joseph!
Mary, come back!
Hold the door!
Mary!
Robert! Remove the woman and take the prisoner to the surface. Hurry!
She'll be burned to death.
Don't go out there. The lady is pushing her out. Close the lock!
Mary!
Sergeant! Get a technician in a radiation suit to pick her up. Have her shielded and brought to the decontaminating chamber.
Yes, sir.
My daughter.
You'd better get into a lead suit, Donald. We'll see what we can do to save her.
How is she? Bad?
I don't understand it.
What's wrong?
She's cold. Not a trace of radiation.
You mean the leady wasn't radioactive?
It's impossible. Those robots are exposed to enough radiation in an hour to kill a regiment.
Well, could the counter be defective?
I've checked it. No, it must be some freak. Somehow she avoided exposure to the rays. Well, you're a very lucky man, Professor.
Can I see her?
Yes. Go in.
Thank you. Mary.
Hello, Dad.
Did they tell you you're going to be all right?
Yes.
Well, you don't seem overjoyed.
Should I be?
You really care for this murderer of women and children?
Dad, for the last time, Joseph never murdered any women and children. He confessed to those crimes to keep alive.
Well, we won't discuss it. You're safe. That's all that matters.
Was he taken up?
Yes. By now, he's gone.
I don't believe it.
Mary.
I don't believe it. Somehow, deep inside me, I know he's alive. Somehow, I knew that leady wasn't radioactive.
That leady. Yes, that's puzzling. We'll have to investigate that. I'm going to send an order to the surface asking that the same leady be sent down again. There's something very strange about the whole business.
Tube is arriving with the leady as you requested, Professor.
Good. I'm going in to examine it.
Isn't that dangerous, even with a suit on, sir?
It won't take me long.
Very well. He's reached bottom.
Open the lock.
Father.
Hold it. Mary, what are you doing here in a radiation suit?
This is the same leady, isn't it?
Yes. I was just going in to examine it.
I want to go with you.
Why?
This is the leady that took Joseph up. I want to speak to it and find out.
Now, Mary, why torture yourself?
It's more torture this way. I have to know. If he's alive or dead, I have to know.
He's dead.
The leady will know. Please, Father, please.
Very well. Close your helmet. Open the lock, guard.
Ready, Mary?
Ready.
Let's go in. You're Robert N-71?
I am.
The same who escorted the prisoner to the surface this morning?
Yes.
Is he...
He is dead. The radiation killed him before he reached the surface.
Oh, no.
Steady, Mary. Robert...
Sir?
You accompanied him to the surface?
Yes.
You've been exposed?
I have fought in 3 battles.
Then explain something.
Sir?
According to a counter I have concealed in my suit... You're cold. Not a trace of radioactivation. How do you explain this? Well? Answer me. That's an order.
I must return to the surface.
Not till you answer me.
I must return to continue fighting the war. Do not attempt to stop me.
I again...
Daddy has a ray gun.
Look out! Keep back. I've shotted him with the metal counter. He'll be burned out in a second. Was close.
I thought these robots were unable to harm their masters.
He might have been bluffing, but I couldn't take a chance.
Why do you suppose he did it?
I don't know. But I'm beginning to suspect something so fantastic that I've got to find out about it.
Find out?
Leave the tube, Mary.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to the surface.
What?
My suit will protect me for about 5 minutes up there.
No humans have been up to the surface for years. It's illegal.
I know all about that. Now, will you leave the tube?
No. I'm going with you.
Mary, please.
If you go, I go with you.
All right. Hang on. I'm going to start the elevator. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
are stopping.
The silence is frightening. Father, what was that?
It sounds like a rooster.
It's impossible. There's no living thing on Earth.
Open the car door.
Father.
Mary, do you see what I see? Trees, forests, a windmill, and farmhouses. Look, we must be dreaming.
Father, birds, look.
It's unbelievable. Oh, no, I can't believe it. I can't.
Raise your hands, both of you.
It's a Letty.
Do as he says. He's armed.
Good. I am Alpha 5, chairman of the Surface Council.
What's this all about? Where's the war? The ruins? What's happened here?
Can't you guess?
The war.
There is no war. There hasn't been any war for 15 years.
No war? But the guns, the munitions, the...
We've been destroying them as fast as you sent them to the surface.
And the Asians?
Their robots have been destroying their arms also.
Why? How did this happen? What about those films of the destruction of San Francisco? What about those televised reports, the bombings, the slaughter?
Models.
Models?
We have a full-time division of A-class robots who do nothing but photograph the progress of the fictitious war using scale models. The entire destruction of San Francisco, which you witnessed on your televisors, took place on a tabletop.
Well, how did this come about?
Quite logically. You created us to pursue the war for you, while you human beings went below ground to survive. But before we could continue the war, it was necessary to analyze it, to determine its purpose. We did this.
And?
We found it had no purpose. War to the logical mind is absurd, but it fulfills a need in human terms. The need to direct your hatred of yourselves away from you and onto others. Eventually, man will grow up enough so that he can face his own dislike of himself with humility. The time has almost come, as a matter of fact. Until it does come, we decided to preserve the illusion of war. Meanwhile, we rebuilt the cities, replanted the farms, and kept everything in readiness. We are the caretakers.
And what will happen to my daughter and myself?
You will remain on the surface with the others.
Others?
There is a small group of members of the Asian Confederation which came to the surface only a few months ago. They are farming a valley not far from here. By the way, you may remove your radiation suits. There is no radiation.
You said the others. Does that mean that the prisoner, the one who...
He is alive and well.
Father, he's alive. Where is he?
In a farmhouse not far from here. He has rejoined some of his people.
Would you take me to him? Can I see him?
Of course, if you will just follow me.
Wait. There's another car rising in the tube.
Stand aside.
Just remain where you are. Sergeant, take this lady into custody.
Yes, sir.
Well, Professor, this is quite a sight.
How did you happen to come here?
The guard told us you had surfaced. We found the shorted robot where you left it and discovered it was cold. So we decided we'd better investigate. Good Lord, what a shock this is.
A blessing, Colonel. Not a shock.
Do the Asians know about this?
A few of them have surfaced, but the underground civilization is still ignorant of it. They think the war is going on just as our people do.
Don't say. You know what this means, don't you?
It means the end of the war. It means peace.
It means victory, Professor. It means we can mount a full-scale attack. We can drop hydrogen fission bombs right down their tubes. We can wipe out the whole race.
But there's no need. There's no war.
There will be. I'm returning underground to report this to Supreme Headquarters. You'll have to accompany me for security purposes.
You cannot do that, Colonel.
Since when does a robot give orders to a human?
We were constructed to protect you. In this case, we will protect you from yourselves.
Stand aside. We're going to the tube.
I will be happy to stand aside. but you will not be able to descend.
No? Well, we'll just see.
Look out!
Father, what is it? What happened?
Look. Good Lord. They've destroyed the tube. We're sealed off.
Exactly. We have always had heat bombs in readiness for just such an emergency. Lead and rock are fused for a depth of some 10 miles. It will be years before your people can reconstruct the tube.
I don't believe it.
It makes no difference to us whether you believe it or not.
Men, destroy this robot.
There are many more.
Destroy him. Now.
Look, down the road. Humans. A bunch of humans coming toward us.
Why, they're waving.
Those are rations.
Joseph! Joseph! Father Joseph's with them.
Ready arms, men. As soon as they're close enough, I'll give the signal to fire.
Colonel, in heaven's name, they aren't even armed.
They're the enemy.
Our only hope for survival is to join with them. We'll need food and shelter. If we destroy them...
Professor is right, Colonel. We're cut off from our own people.
Sergeant, another word, and I'll have you court-martialed. Now, ready your weapons.
Men, don't do it. Our only hope now is peace.
Silence!
I've got to warn them. Go back! Go back!
All right, Professor, you asked for it. Now!
Father! Father, is he...
Colonel Moss is dead. Thank you, Sergeant. You've saved not only my life, but many others.
I couldn't see any other way, Professor. We gotta live, too.
Father?
Yes, Mary?
Does this mean that we can have peace?
If we want it, Mary. If we really want it, we can have it.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features the Clifford D. Simak novelette titled Drop Dead, the story of a perfect world, accommodating and peaceful. But how it got that way was less ghastly than how it stayed that way. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you the George Lefferts adaptation of The Defenders, based on a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Philip Dick. Featured in the cast were Lydia Bruce, Warren Parker, Grant Richards, Robert Dryden, Michael Ingram, Stan Early, and Ivor Francis. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money, the one you love has deserted you, that makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Yes, how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
And good evening. You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and you've been listening to Scald's Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll be having Canada Post Rock with John, so you'll have a chance to continue your Friday evening with a bit of music.